Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preach any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For I do not persuade men or, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
It is a great joy to be with you this morning and just a pleasure. It brings gladness to our hearts when we worship the Lord. And we're thankful for that. Will you bow your heads right now and join me in prayer? As we look into the Word of God this morning, we need help from His Spirit as we study together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great privilege of worship. Thank you that you speak to us by your Word. Thank you for the Spirit who dwells in your people. And Father, just help us now to continue to worship. Thank you for the focus we've had this morning, and we just rejoice truly in you and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the change that he's brought into our lives through regeneration, through sanctification. Thank you, God, for this faithful work for us and for your glory. God, may that continue right now as we look into your word. And again, Lord, we ask for help. We realize that we can't understand this word. We can't apply it in our lives without the work of your Spirit. And we ask for that now. So, Father, as we come together to glorify you, may we do it now in submission and humility as we respond to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just to make sure that you have a clear summary picture of what Paul's saying in this passage, I want to read again Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Thank you, Brother David, for reading that. Let's look at it again. The Apostle Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now, the truth that runs like a foundation in this passage is that there is only one gospel. Amen. There is one true message by Paul. One true message preached by the other apostles, preached by the early church, and must be preached today. There is only one true gospel. Coming from this truth by the Apostle Paul in this passage, I want you to see this morning three statements that are very important for us to hear and to believe. Nothing has changed in these statements from Paul's day to our day. Here they are. First of all, it's astonishing when a person hears and believes the gospel, but afterward turns away from it. Number two, if a person rejects the gospel or preaches another gospel, he is under a curse. Number three, the messenger or the servant of the gospel seeks to please God alone, not man. Folks, these words by the Apostle Paul were important to believers then, and they're important to us today. You see, there was a danger to the gospel in Paul's day, and there are dangers to the gospel today. And that's why that this passage is so important for us today. And so with the help of the Spirit of God, let's focus our attention on these important words by the Apostle Paul. Let's first of all, this morning, consider the truth that there is only one gospel. Now, our text before us does not define the gospel. The rest of the letter does that. As a matter of fact, the first few verses of Galatians, we touched upon that. So our focus today will not be on the content of the gospel. That will come later. But our focus today will be on the cruciality of the gospel. And remember, the underlying truth of this passage is this: there is only one gospel. If you sit in this part of our service this morning and you walk out of this building this morning, get this truth. There is only one gospel, one true gospel. Look at verse 6, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. I draw your attention to Paul's words, a different gospel. Some translations say another gospel. This word different or another here in verse 6 comes from the Greek word heteros, which means a different kind. So Paul's talking here about something that is completely different. The Galatian believers have turned away from the true gospel to a completely different gospel. A gospel of another kind is what he says. Look at verse 7. Because he helps us understand this statement that he makes in verse 6. He did not mean that there are several possible gospels and the Galatians have simply chosen another of these options. No, they have chosen a gospel which is completely different. Look at verse 7. He says, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at that word another in verse 7. It's a completely different word than the word another or different in verse 6. It's the Greek word allos, and it means another of the same kind. Now, what's that mean? Let's put it together just a moment in our thinking. Here's what Paul's saying in verses 6 and 7. He says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different kind of gospel, which is not another of the same kind, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Just for a moment, I want you to listen to several translations that will help us. First of all, listen to the ESV. It says it this way. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Listen to the New American Standard Bible. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Listen to the Amplified New Testament. I am surprised and astonished that you are so quickly turning renegade and deserting him who invited and called you by the grace of Christ, and you are transferring your allegiance to a different, even an opposition gospel. Not that there is or could be any other genuine gospel. Now, I hope that you get the point, because the point is crystal clear. There is no other gospel than the one preached to them by the Apostle Paul and which they received from that preaching. You see, in the churches of Galatia, there are people presenting their ideas and their teaching as the gospel, but they are perversions. They are false. And folks, the implications for us today are many. And yet I would share just a couple of the implications of that truth to us right here this morning. This text before us is a clear denial of pluralism. I smiled when Brother Tim got up and was leading the service this morning, because in essence, the first statements he made were right on target with what Paul was saying in this passage. See, pluralism says that we're all on different roads to heaven, but our destination is the same. In other words, there are many ways to God. There are plural ways to God. And folks, this is actually a type of universalism. And universalism says that everyone will be saved. And this comes in many different forms, but understand this morning that there is absolutely no biblical basis for pluralism or universalism. For sure, there are many different religions, and there are many different religious leaders. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, this one who was called out by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul makes it plain that there is no other gospel. There is no other way of salvation. There is no other means to get right with God other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what makes this text so powerful and so important as we think about these words by the Apostle Paul is that the different gospel, this gospel of a different kind that he talks about, this different gospel in the churches of Galatia, it's not some pagan, foreign, cultic teaching. It was a close counterfeit of the true gospel. Those people in verse 7 who were troubling the Galatian believers and perverting the gospel were actually professing Christians. It's quite possible that they belonged to the church of Jerusalem. It's quite possible they even knew their leaders. This different gospel that was being proclaimed to the Galatians was not in the order of the different religions we might have today, like Buddhism or Islam or Hinduism. This was a false teaching within Christianity. It was promoted by men who called themselves Christians. It was promoted by those who said they followed Jesus Christ and they'd put their faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 2 and look at verse 4. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Now, we'll get there in a few weeks, but we just jump right into this passage and notice that Paul says here, "But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage." You see, these men called themselves Christians. This message that they brought to these believers in the church of Galatia, it was not the gospel. It was a different gospel. A gospel of a different kind, not the same. What that means for us then is this. Think about it. Here's another implication. It means, folks, that we always need to be committed to bringing believers to maturity. We guard our people from false gospels by the true gospel. We protect our people from false doctrine with true doctrine. Now be on guard against those who would say that we don't need doctrine. They will say all that we need is love. We need to love one another. Doctrine divides is what they say. Beware of those people. Because a lack of doctrinal maturity is fertile ground for false teaching. And brothers and sisters, we must be committed as a church to establish our people in doctrinal truth from young to old. Many of the letters of the New Testament are written to churches who were facing false teaching. And so it was real then, it's real today. And it's much more common today, I believe, because of the ease of communication in our world today. And so the underlying truth of this passage is that there is no other gospel. And we recognize two implications. First of all, universalism is wrong and pluralism is wrong. There are not many roads to heaven. There is one way. And second, we must be committed to helping our people mature in truth and doctrine. And this is vital to the life of the church. Now, let's look at those three statements that I mentioned at the beginning of the message. Let's look at those statements that come out of this underlying truth. First of all, it's astonishing when people turn away from the gospel. Look again at verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ. Folks, that means that Paul is amazed and he's astonished that some people who believe the true gospel will turn away from it. And Paul actually touches on two reasons why turning to a different gospel is so astonishing. Notice what he says. First of all, it's actually a turning away from God. He says in verse 6, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you. You see, they're not just turning away from a doctrine or an idea. They are. And yet they're actually turning away from God. So don't fall for that notion that concern for doctrine is impersonal. Because Paul reminds us here that the gospel is the very personal good news of God's call to you. It's very personal. Someone turns to a different gospel. Understand this morning. When someone turns to a different gospel, they turn away from God. They reject God. They turn away from Him. And this is astonishing. A second reason that it's astonishing is found later in the letter. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And I'll just touch on this. We'll look at it in detail in the future. Galatians chapter 5 verse 4. Notice what Paul says here. He says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Paul is astonished that so soon after they receive Christ, they now turn away. They fall from grace. Now let's be careful with these statements. Let's understand what he's saying here. I nor the Apostle Paul was saying that a person can lose genuine salvation. Some of these Galatians may have never had it in the first place. If they did, their spiritual growth is now greatly hindered by their decisions in regards to the gospel. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Folks, the gospel has been twisted, and the grace of God in Jesus Christ has been altered. And the Apostle Paul is astonished. He's amazed at these people that he worked with, these churches that are founded. He's amazed and astonished and surprised that so quickly they would turn away from the truth of the gospel. And it's still astonishing that anyone hearing and accepting the best news in the world, that God offers full and free forgiveness of sins and eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, would actually turn to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. There's a second statement that grows out of this truth of one true gospel. Look at verses 8 and 9. The rejection of the gospel brings God's curse. Verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Twice, Paul says that if anyone, angel or man, preaches another gospel, a false gospel, a gospel different than what Paul preached, let him be accursed. Now, when I look at those verses, and I look at that short part of the passage, verses 8 and 9, he makes this statement in verse 8, let him be accursed, but then in verse 9, he repeats it that quickly. He repeats it in verse 9. It's almost like that when he writes this to them, he knows that they will be shocked or they'll be surprised when he says, let them be accursed. And so he says it immediately. He says it a second time. This Greek word that he uses here is anathema. The word means set aside for destruction. When a person is anathema, he is cut off from Christ. He is separated from God. He is doomed to eternal destruction. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, that those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, here's how he describes it. He says, shall suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Brothers and sisters, you can't read this passage and you can't study this passage without feeling the sense, the weight of the seriousness of what Paul is saying in this passage. You see, when a person rejects the free, gracious gift of God's forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, he or she remains under the divine curse for their sin. And this judgment then is for those who reject the gospel. You reject the gospel by saying no to it. And you also reject the gospel by twisting it or adding to it or making it something different than it really is. And folks, this is life and death for Paul. He doesn't offer any sugary smiles and the attitude to each his own as he presents this truth. He's faced with the truth of the gospel. And the gospel's being perverted. And Paul takes it serious. You look at these words and you don't see any jokes here. You don't see any statements of humor by the Apostle Paul. He's not making any statements here that he wants people to accept him and feel good about him. Paul is sharing truth, and it's life and death truth. The gospel of Christ is the point at which the life of God touches the hopeless life of a sinner. And when that offer of eternal grace to unworthy people is rejected or it's perverted, then there must be a response. And what we see in this passage is that response by the Apostle Paul. I guess if I wanted to put it in my own words, it would be something like this. You mess with the gospel and you mess with the eternal destiny of human beings. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. And Paul says if you do that, you are accursed. You're accursed. Brothers and sisters, the Bible does not reveal to us the eternal curse of God so that we can yawn and just turn the page and go on. The wrath of God is revealed to shake unbelievers out of their dullness and to shake believers out of their complacency. So don't pass this too quickly. See, Paul said it twice. Don't pass it too quickly. To those who preach and proclaim a false gospel, let them be accursed, he says. Then there's a third statement. Look at verse 10. The servant of the gospel seeks to please God, not man. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So what Paul's saying in this passage will not win him friends. As a matter of fact, Paul will be the enemy of these false teachers. And you know, frankly, folks, he doesn't care. Amen. He doesn't care because the glory of God and the salvation of people are at stake. And so he teaches and he proclaims the truth. As a matter of fact, again, he will face these false teachers. They actually follow him all the way around the Mediterranean, trying to hinder him and trying to stop him. And much of what he faced came at the hands of these false teachers. Two things are at stake when the gospel is perverted. One is the glory of Christ, and the other is the salvation of sinners. If the gospel is perverted, then the all-sufficiency of Christ's person and work is dishonored. And if the gospel is twisted, then the way to salvation for sinners is blocked. And therefore, Paul must oppose this perversion of the gospel with all his might and with all his strength that comes from God, whether it pleases people or not, for the glory of God and the good of those who need to be saved and to grow in Christ. Paul is willing to speak the truth. Now, his goal is not to alienate people and to disturb people. It's not true that the more people you can displease, the more spiritual you are. That's not true. I mean, it's good to please people when that pleasing comes from the sharing of truth that brings salvation. And that sharing of truth that brings spiritual growth, because when that happens, then people can have a genuine pleasing. They can be pleased with that. There can be joy and happiness, gratitude because of that. Some would say that Paul's statement here is unloving. Brother Tim, you touched on that this morning in our worship, first part of the worship. But in truth, folks, these words are words of deep love to God and to people. Perhaps the best personal application of these words in verse 10 is this, and I think there are many applications. But do you realize we are freed by our submission to Christ? We are actually freed when our goal is to please Christ. It means that we're not pulled by this person or this person or this group or this group. When our goal is to please Christ, then there's great freedom in that. My goal and your goal must be to please one person, and that person is Jesus. And this brings unity and purpose to our life and to our ministry. It even helps us make decisions. I jotted down when I wrote that statement in my notes that then I wrote the question, well, how? And I thought, well, it helps us make everyday decisions. Will this please Christ? Will this honor Christ? Should I read this book? Should I take this job? Should I make this move? Should I marry this person? Should I make this purchase? You see, will this please Christ? Will this bring glory to Him? What a liberating and freeing truth this is. We live to please Jesus. And that, folks, is why He made us. He made us to please Him and obey Him and depend on Him. And sometimes pleasing Jesus will please others, and sometimes it won't. But pleasing Him is worth it all. The main truth of this passage is that there is only one gospel. And it's astonishing to turn away from it. It's a turning away from God and God's grace. It's also tragic to turn away from it. Those who turn from the gospel are cursed and cut off from God. And when we embrace and believe this one gospel, it will bring unity and purpose in our lives because we live to please Jesus. And that's why He made us. Folks, there's one gospel, and it's the gospel. The Apostle Paul called it the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of God's grace in the crucified and resurrected God-man, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who lived the perfect life, who died in our place, who took the judgment of God upon Himself in our place. And the Bible says, the gospel says, if you put your faith in Him and Him alone, you can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And that, folks, is good news. Good news. Let's bow our heads. Father, we need Your help. Even as we come face to face with the truth of Your Word, and even right at this moment, Father, there may be someone here today who has rejected the gospel. There may be someone here today who said no to that free offer of grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I pray for them today. I lift them before You and ask God for Your work of mercy and grace in their hearts to remove the blindness and the darkness, and God, bring them to Yourself through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for Your people here. God, help us to see the seriousness of what Paul teaches and tells us. And God, give us eyes to see in this world around us that there are groups today. There are people today, Father. There are groups that call themselves churches who have turned away from the gospel. God, help us. Help us to see them with the eyes of this passage. And help us, God, to please You, not men, as we serve others and we share the gospel and as we function as a local church right here in Iowa City. Use us for Your glory. Use us to share this great gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing together, and we're going to sing a chorus. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and that chorus will be on the screen, the gospel song.
Holy God, in love became. time.
Holy God in love.
Close with prayer, and yet even before we close in prayer, if you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God's giving you that opportunity today. Talk to us after the service. We'd be happy to share with you this good news of Jesus. Believers, we should be glad for the grace of God. We should glorify Him and praise Him and worship Him that He has saved us by His grace through Jesus. May our lives show it. Amen. To His great glory. Thanks for being here today. Service is this evening. We invite you to come. There's much we can do for one another. There's much we can do for the glory of God as we trust Him and depend upon Him. Let's pray now. Thank you for being here. Brother David Martin, close our time of prayer.